from KQED.
This is the California Report. Good morning. I'm John Sepulveda. We begin in Los Angeles, where yesterday a jury found former L.A. County Sheriff Lee Baca guilty. His crimes? Obstruction of justice, conspiring to hinder an FBI investigation, and lying to investigators. The case began as a 2011 FBI probe of jails and guards under Baca's supervision. According to prosecutors, Baca's deputies hid an inmate informant from the FBI and also approached an FBI agent at her house and threatened her. Baca faces 20 years in prison. The 74-year-old is also facing the beginnings of Alzheimer's disease. He spoke on the courthouse steps after the verdict.
Now, you've known me for a long time. I am a faith-based person. My mentality is always optimistic, and I look forward to winning on appeal.
It's unclear what appeal Baca is speaking of. We're going to turn now to the other big court decision, this one happening in Hawaii and Maryland. In those two courts, California, Hawaii, and other states got a big win when a federal judge blocked President Trump's new travel ban. It's a temporary decision as the courts look at the merits of the case, meaning for the meantime, refugees and citizens from six predominantly Muslim countries can continue to enter the U.S. For analysis, we turn now to Rory Little, a law professor at UC Hastings. Good morning, Rory.
Good morning.
It seems pretty clear here that the judge in Hawaii sees this ban, at least on the surface, as a religious test. Am I reading that right?
Yeah, I would say both the judge in Hawaii and the judge in Maryland see this as both a problem with the establishment of a religious preference and also sort of preferring one religious preference over another, which damages some of the plaintiffs who are Muslims.
Now, from a California perspective, is there anything in this ruling in Hawaii or even in Maryland that piques your interest?
Well, I mean, California has a very large Muslim population, and they have a lot of people interested in refugee status and immigrant status and visas. I mean, we are a state of diversity and a state of immigrants in large regard, and certainly California, by the way, has some of the largest entry points, you know, Los Angeles, San Diego, San Francisco. So California is deeply interested in how this goes, and many people in California are quite happy with the rulings that have come out so far.
Rory, is it just me? I have never seen an administration struggle so mightily with the federal courts so early into their administration.
Well, you know, the answer to that question is yes, the Department of Justice is having a hard time defending these orders. You know, it's a sort of unique circumstance where the client is talking every day about the merits of the case. So when the Department of Justice says, oh, this travel ban, the second one, is neutral, it has nothing to do with religion, and then the client gets on TV last night and says, well, actually, it's just a watered-down version of the first one, you know, he's undercutting the interests of his lawyers. So, yeah, right now, the judges seem pretty unanimous across the country that this is a religious problem as well as a statutory problem. And so they're going to have to go quickly up to some court of appeals. And I think you'll see this up in the Supreme Court relatively quickly.
Rory Little from UC Hastings. Rory, thank you so much for joining us this morning.
Thank you, John.
Moving on now, the number of people in California prisons and jails has dropped by 15,000. That's since voters passed Proposition 47, which reduces penalties for some low-level crimes. This is a key finding in a report out this morning from the group that sponsored that ballot measure. KQED's Julie Small reports.
Californians for Safety and Justice reports that incarcerating fewer people has saved the state $68 million so far, money that now goes to local programs to prevent crime. The group's founder, Lenore Anderson, says that's where the money's best spent.
We've got to have much more innovative approaches to stop the cycle of crime rooted in the communities and in the cities and in the counties, as opposed to over-relying on this prison system.
She says San Diego is a good example for other counties to follow. A new program there helps people who repeatedly commit minor crimes by trying to get at the root cause, helping them deal with addiction or a lack of housing. But Prop 47 remains unpopular in many counties, says Ventura County Sheriff Jeff Dean. He says dropping simple drug possession from a felony to a misdemeanor has taken away his best tool to compel people to get treatment.
Because as many of us know, those with addiction problems
really, really aren't going to get treatment until they're forced to do it or they've reached the bottom.
Californians for Safety and Justice reports so far nearly 200,000 people with old felony convictions have had those reduced under Prop 47. For the California Report, I'm Julie Small.
Let's move now to Oakland, where one father is on a crusade to bring more affordable housing and performance spaces for artists. Edwin Birnbaum's son, Jonathan, was one of 36 who died in last year's Ghost Ship fire. That's the illegal work-live space that burned to the ground. Birnbaum told a state Senate committee yesterday that more flexibility is needed to bring some of these converted buildings up to code.
The important thing is safety. And having places that people can live where they're not in danger. And the question is whether existing codes that have been formulated for other things are really applicable to work-live spaces.
Birnbaum has started an organization and is raising money to set up safe spaces for artists to live and thrive. Lawmakers are now setting up a working group to look at, among other things, fire and safety codes.
Support for the California Report comes from Personal Capital, offering online financial tools to manage and track accounts from investments to retirement planning. Personal Capital, serving over 1 million people at personalcapital.com. Barracuda Networks, cloud-ready firewalls engineered for today's next-generation business networks. Learn more at barracuda.com/cloud-ready. And Eric and Wendy Schmidt, whose family foundation advances the wiser use of energy and natural resources on a planet where everything is connected. On the web at theschmidt.org.
Farmers and ranchers call wolves a nuisance. The EPA calls them a keystone species. Right now, they are neither of those things because California's only pack of wolves is lost. In August of 2015, state wildlife officials announced that a pack of gray wolves had settled in California. Two adults, five pups, were celebrated as the first to settle in the state in almost a century. No one has seen these wolves, though, since this past May. Wildlife officials are hoping someone will spot them and confirm the wolves are still in the state, but more importantly, still alive. And that's the California Report for Thursday, March 16th, a production of KQED Public Radio. I'm John Sepulveda. Have a great day.